Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Joe Beninati. You're listening to NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face-Off Podcast. Here he is. Here's your host, J.J. Regan.
Welcome in to another edition of NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face-Off Podcast. I am your host, the Capitals correspondent, J.J. Regan. With me today, he's the Capitals insider. He is the Phantom Menace to my Empire Strikes Back. He is Tarik El-Bashir. Tarik?
Empire Strikes Back was a better flick.
Yes, that's why you are the Phantom Menace to my Empire Strikes Back.
Oh.
Yes.
No.
These never go in your favor, Tarik. I don't know if you've noticed this.
They don't, and they're lame. But Empire Strikes Back was definitely the better movie.
Yes, of course it was. What we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about a little bit about the Oilers snatching Nathan Walker. We're going to talk about Joe Thornton's hit to TJ Oshie. But mostly, we're going to open up the mailbag because you fine people followed through this week, and we got some good questions to talk about. So let's dive right into it. First, let's update the injury status of what's going on here with the Capitals. Travis Boyd is headed back to Hershey. Tyler Greivac was placed on waivers. And all of that is good news for the status of Andre Burakovsky. These are moves that needed to be made in order to clear up roster and cap space to bring Burakovsky back. Tarik, what does Burakovsky add to the Capitals lineup?
Well, it extends the lineup a little bit. It puts a bona fide sniper. Sure, he hasn't quite lived up to his billing and his potential yet, but it adds a really dangerous player to the third line. Today in practice, he was out there skating with Lars Eller and Brett Connolly. You remember that trio had some really good chemistry in the second half of last season. So what it does is it means that the top six really becomes a top nine, which is what you need in today's game to really become a contender. And the fact that the top six is playing so well, TJ Oshie's out right now, but when he's in there, that top six has been as good as any in the league, I would argue. The fact that you have a situation, given how much this team lost in the offseason, where a guy like Andre Burakovsky comes back onto the third line when he returns from a 20-game absence, I think it extends that lineup. It makes the lineup more dangerous. There's more there are now three lines that should be capable of consistently putting up points.
Now, the fact that Greivac and Boyd are on their way out means that the Capitals' extra for the next game will be TJ Oshie, so that has to be good
news.
Not ideal, but that has to be good news about his status, right?
Well, maybe. I did catch a glimpse of him. He wasn't out there for practice today. I did catch a glimpse of him doing a little stick handling in slippers off to the side, right outside the Capitals' dressing room. He was also juggling a puck on his stick. You know, these are the signs of a player who's feeling better. Mm-hmm. He's not locked up in a dark room or anything. You know, so he's he's definitely moving in the right direction, I would say. Even Coach Trotz said he's feeling better. There are thresholds, there are benchmarks that you have to hit when you're in the protocol before you're cleared to come back to the ice. And the fact that he's doing a little bit of physical activity right now would seem to suggest to me he's in those first steps of the protocol. The next big hurdle that he's got to get over is getting onto the ice for a practice and then feeling good after that practice. So that's what we'll be keeping our eye out for. But, yeah, I guess if you look at the way this team is, they didn't really have any options. They can't afford Andre Burakovsky on the roster and any extras.
Yeah.
So they didn't really have options. But I guess if you wanted to kind of parse, and kind of look, maybe it does mean Oshie is not going to be out for a significant amount of time.
One move the Cats made earlier with an eye towards Burakovsky's return was the waiving of Nathan Walker, who was then claimed off waivers by the Oilers. Here was what Barry Trotz had to say about the young Aussie.
Teams are going to get an opportunity to look at him. That's what waivers are there for, is, you know, Wax is not in our, right now in our top 14. So he needs to play. He's not getting any better. He's a player that I think it's the right thing to do is you get him down and hopefully he gets a consistent opportunity in Edmonton. And if he does and he makes it, that's fantastic. If he doesn't, then we have an opportunity to reclaim him. So, but that's what waivers are there for. Yeah, that's, you know, how you get players in this league. Trust me, we've been doing this a long time. You get some players that, you know, off waivers that can do for short term, and some guys actually can turn that into long term. So it's all about opportunity. So anybody knows Walk's a terrific young man, but he needs to play and needs to develop. His game is not there yet, so he has to continue to develop, and he can't do it not playing.
Tarik, this is one of those situations where the perception of the media was very different from that of the fans. The fans were pretty upset about this. For us, I think we were all surprised he was claimed, and while we're sad to see him go, because he's a good kid, this really isn't that big of a blow to the Caps, is it?
Well, it's a small blow to their organizational depth. You know, here's a player they drafted, they developed, they hoped was going to turn into a player who could, you know, be an energy line guy, right. Maybe play a little bit higher in the lineup. But the reality of the situation was he came up, he made his debut, his, you know, became the first Australian to play in the NHL. It was a big deal when he suited up against Montreal. But he wasn't able to do the little things that Barry Trotz wanted to see from him to continue to improve and get more playing time. And after a couple of months, it was clear that he wasn't going to be getting in the lineup anytime soon,
right.
At least not playing any significant minutes. And they needed him to get somewhere to in a position where he could play, and that was going to be Hershey. They knew there was a risk of losing him. And they hoped that he wouldn't get claimed. And he did. He got claimed by an Oilers team that is really scuffling right now and needs to add some speed to the bottom six forward group. And, you know, the Caps wished him well. I mean, you remember, they can reclaim him if it doesn't work out in Edmonton. I'm happy for him. He's going to get an opportunity to show what he can do. That said, it had become pretty apparent after he had only played in one set of back, you know, he'd only played back-to-back games one time, and I think only seven games total. It was pretty clear it wasn't going to be here, at least not this year.
I think sometimes we forget the difference, the vast difference between preseason and regular season. He looked good in the preseason. He did.
Against other guys who aren't in the NHL.
Against AHL players, right, for the most part. And when he was in the NHL and when he suited up for games, he wasn't terrible, but he wasn't able to do, like you said, the little things as expected of a energy line, fourth line player.
I mean, you know, the one thing that jumped out to me was, you know, getting the puck off the wall and getting it out of the zone on the breakout. He seemed to consistently struggle with that. I don't know if that's because of size or because of ice vision or ice awareness. I don't know what that was, but you could tell that the coaching staff was getting a little frustrated because the improvement was not coming as fast as they had hoped. And, you know, they're a capped out team. They have to make, you know, decisions and moves that maybe some teams that have a little more space don't have to. But, you know, it had become abundantly clear that he wasn't going to make it under Barry Trotz, and they tried to return him to Hershey and it didn't work out.
Yeah, I was surprised he was taken. For me, I looked at him as his ceiling probably is about a fourth line player. And that's not a knock on him. If you're a fourth line player in the NHL, you're one of the best players in the world.
Right.
I looked at him as a fourth line player, and as someone who's not playing, I understood completely why they would put him on waivers and try to return him to Hershey, because there he can develop more, there he can improve more, and there he can get playing time, which he wasn't getting here. So I wasn't all that critical of the move. I was surprised he got taken. But you know what? Wish him well. Hopefully he gets more playing time in Edmonton and can turn into a productive bottom six player, because I think that's what his ceiling is. Real quick, Tarik, Thornton's hit on Oshie, dirty or no?
You know, I've said all along that I thought it was an unnecessary play. I didn't think there was no intent to injure. dirty would be overstating it, in my opinion. I don't think it was a malicious play. Dirty to me is you're trying to hurt somebody. You're trying to knock them out of the game. I think there was a confluence of events there. Oshie was losing his edge. He was going down. Thorne's a much bigger man. The puck was long gone. It was late. It was late as all heck. That said, it was not a heavy blow, and it was just hip to head. I think it was the fact that he made, you know, contact with his head. Had Oshie not lost his edge and started going down, it would have been, you know, on his side as opposed to his head. That said, he was already engaged with another player. That play did not need to be made.
Yeah,
you did not need to go in there and pardon the pun, but he did not need to stick his butt in there. You know, he didn't need to make that play. I think the fact that Thornton is what 38 years old and doesn't have a reputation for being a dirty player, I think that helped him avoid any supplementary discipline. But, it's a bad break for Oshie, a bad break for the Capitals. Yeah. You know, hopefully he's not going to be out too long. It just didn't need to be made.
Right. And there's a penalty for that in the NHL, and it's called interference. You want to give him an interference penalty? Absolutely. Right. That is the definition of interference. But like you said, to me, I think you're spot on. Dirty is done with malicious intent. I really don't think he skated in there and said, I'm going to hit Oshie's head with my ass.
Right.
I don't think that was the plan.
That was not the plan.
I took greater exception to Brendan Dillon's slash on Madison Bowie. I thought that was a much dirtier play. But for Oshie, I understood. For Thornton, I understood no supplementary discipline. I was fine with that. I didn't think it was dirty. You know, it was addressed on the ice like hockey players do, and I think you can move on from there. And we are going to move on with a word from our sponsor. All right, Tarek, let's open up the mailbag. We got a lot of good questions this week, so we're going to open it right up. First, from Marie Smith. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Big fan of you both and of the podcast. Thank you, Marie.
Thank you, Marie.
Any thoughts on what the Caps will or should do when it comes to the Stadium Series jerseys?
Well, I would say this. They've already been designed and quite possibly produced by this point. So
you haven't seen them, have you? This just isn't.
I have not.
Okay.
I just know the timeline. I mean, right. These things have been done. I hope they don't change too much. I get the feeling that the Stadium Series jerseys don't get a whole. They don't get the Winter Classic treatment, if memory serves me correctly. That they get additional patches. That they maybe get a tweak here or there.
Well, we saw the logo is slightly different. For the
Caps.
It's down the Caps.
It certainly is. I'm interested, like everyone else, to see it. It has not been leaked. One has shown it to me, but that's going to be a heck of a venue. That venue is. If you guys haven't been to this stadium, it is so cool.
You know, you're definitely at the Naval Academy while you're there. They definitely celebrate.
You've been there, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I was there for a high school football championship. I believe it was my alma mater. I think it was Good Counsel versus DeMatha or something.
Okay.
And there's just a lot of stuff, a lot of history. It's a cool building. It's not a big venue. It's 35,000 seats. I think folks that get out there are going to really enjoy that game.
Yeah, it's a cool venue.
It's going to be more intimate than like being in a huge stadium trying to see a little hockey rink.
And I think that's going to actually make it a better venue for these types of things. The fact that it's a little bit smaller, I think more people will get a better view of the action and what's going on. My prediction for the jerseys, I think they're going to go blue in tribute to the Navy, who is hosting them this event.
Yeah, sure.
So I think their jersey is going to be blue. I have been there. I covered the Military Bowl there twice.
Yeah.
And funny story about that real quick. The press box is pretty small because, you know, it's Navy. They don't usually have big-time football there. But so the press box is really small, and so the press sits basically right next to the room where the coaches sit.
Mm-hmm.
And so the coaches, I was Virginia Tech versus Cincinnati, and the coaches definitely thought Virginia Tech –
fumbled the football, the Cincinnati coaches, and so they were yelling and screaming and swearing, "It's a fumble! It's a fumble!" And we're all sitting there just laughing because they're swearing up a storm. They wanted to see a challenge, so that was pretty funny.
Like Lane Lambert level swearing?
Yes, yes.
How great good. Was that?
That was
Peter DeBoer was giving it back to him. But that was fun.
That was fun.
Thank you, Marie. Next, from Bailey Cortez. What's to say if the Capitals couldn't win a Stanley Cup or even make it past the second round with a roster considered much stronger? What's the difference maker this time around? If the Capitals make the playoffs, win the first round, and meet up against the Penguins again, what is the answer? And does Ovi keep it up all year long as well?
Those are some great questions. You know what? I am of the belief at this point where the evolution of this team, you just got to keep making the playoffs. And, yeah. And at some point, I think you are going to, I don't say catch a break, you know, like have the Penguins knocked out in the first round by another team. But maybe that's what it takes, is for the Penguins to get Toronto, you know, and Toronto to have their best series and knock. You know what I mean? Right. It might take a situation like that, because this team certainly has a little bit of a mental block
yeah.
when it comes to the Penguins. But I think if you're a Capitals fan, you got to just hope this team continues to stay at this level where they're not what they were the last couple of years. They were not the cream of the crop, not the top of the league, but somewhere between very good and elite.
Mm-hmm.
And you can keep, and you get three or four more chances at kicks at the can with this group. That might be optimistic, but you know, let's say they get three more good kicks at it. You gotta just hope that the schedules align and the matchups align and
yeah.
the stars align, and you get through. I mean, I am still of the belief, and I know I get laughed at by you know Caps fans that a little more negative.
Uh-huh.
I would say by the last. Jaded by the last few years,
yeah.
that I think if the Capitals had gotten past Game 7 last year of the Penguins, I think they win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, they literally, in my opinion, I think they were 60 minutes from getting to where they want to get to having a parade down Pennsylvania Avenue.
Right.
Had they gotten by the Penguins, I think they cruise.
You know, the NHL playoffs are
10 more games and yeah. the cup is theirs.
The NHL playoffs are such a crapshoot that it's baffling to me that the same thing has happened to the Capitals over and over and over again. I mean, that is so rare because they're really unpredictable in the NHL playoffs.
They're the most unpredictable,
they're most unpredictable in all sports. So it's crazy that the same thing keeps happening. The difference is that every year is different. I know it looks like, oh, the Capitals can't get out of the second round. The Capitals can't beat the Penguins. Every year in the NHL playoffs are completely different. They're just a different sort of animal, and that's what makes them so unpredictable. You know, what makes this team different around this time around? I think Alex Ovechkin is scoring on 5-on-5 with much more regularity, which is important because the power play disappears in playoffs a lot. You know, there are concerns about two rookies playing in the defense when it comes to the playoffs, but you know what? Maybe they're better suited for the playoffs than a Capitals team that had Carl Alzner and Brooks Orpik in their top six, that had seven defensemen, that was trying to do something with that, that had Kevin Shattenkirk, that had trade deadline acquisitions. I'm done with pretty much all trade deadline acquisitions. For the most part, they do not work.
You realize you're one of the fans I was referring to, right?
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty much done with those. I'd rather just see a team just ride it out and play with the hand they've been dealt. If you're a playoff team before the trade deadline, you should be a playoff team afterwards. So
how nice was Zach Sanford looking at this lineup right now?
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
But to answer your question, is that Bailey, the fact is every season is different. And it doesn't look like it because the Caps keep losing in the second round and they keep losing to the Pittsburgh Penguins. But the NHL playoffs are just a different
calm
animal.
Down, JJ.
Who would have thought?
You're starting to froth in the mouth.
Who would have thought the Nashville Predators would have swept the Chicago Blackhawks?
I had them going to the conference. No, yeah. I didn't actually.
Do you remember our analysis of that series?
I literally didn't even analyze that series.
Yes.
I thought the Blackhawks were just going
to My question to you was, does Nashville have a chance? You said, nope, and then we moved on.
And
that was it.
and a 16 seed went all the way to the final and came within, what, two games of, yeah. of lifting a cup. So
next question from Samuel Lemke.
Wait, he wanted to know about Ovechkin. Can he keep this pace? I think at this point, 21 goals in 29 games?
Yeah, that's unsustainable probably.
A little bit. I would say he's going to end up somewhere in that 50 range. I don't think he's going to score 60 goals.
I don't think so either, but 40 to 50.
I could see him finish. I said at the start of the year 40 to 45 would be what this team needed given how much they are paying him and, you know, just kind of where what they needed from him given what they had lost.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to revise that upward to like 45 to 50.
Okay. From Samuel Lemke with the Jet line. He's nicknamed the Vronikuzi Ocean line to the Jet line.
Why?
Jacob Evgeny TJ.
Oh.
We mean why? I thought it was self-explanatory.
I get it.
With the Jet line getting so good right now and putting up points, how big of a significance is it that Osh is out, and will they still be as dynamic as they were while he is out?
Oh, that would be a nope.
No, Alex Chason is not TJ Oshie, and they're not going to be as dynamic.
And no one is expecting them to be as dynamic or as productive as they were before. They're just hoping that they can get through this next week or two until TJ is able to get back in there.
But as we talked about, the signs are pointing in the right direction for TJ making a pretty speedy recovery, we think.
Plus,
having Andre Burakovsky back in the lineup also helps.
It does.
With all due respect to Tyler Graevac and Travis Boyd, having Andre Burakovsky is a boost.
Having a first-round talent back in there is, yes.
From Eddie, there was a rumor floating around that there could be a change in the playoff format and top teams could choose a team they want to go up against.
What?
Based on previous playoffs, who would the Caps choose to play? To play first, and thinking of the season, who would be the first round choice, and how could this benefit teams in the playoffs from your perspective? I don't think we'll ever see that playoff.
It'd be pretty awesome. Because imagine if you picked a weak team or a team that you had done well against in the regular season, and then you got beat.
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
See, that's the thing for me. I think there's essentially zero benefit because as soon as you pick a team, you give them that chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to play us? You want to play us? Yeah. Oh, we'll show you. The only possible benefit I see to this for the higher seeded teams is then you get to avoid like that eighth seed who's red hot, who won their last 20 games to just squeak into the playoffs, and who's actually better than the fifth, sixth, and seventh seed.
Yeah.
And you could avoid them. But otherwise, I don't see there to be any benefit to this.
It'd be pretty awesome. It'd be pretty awesome. I mean, I'm envisioning like a made-for-TV, like 30-minute special on NBC Sports Network.
Yeah,
do you like that plug?
Yeah, where
you know you'd have the GM of the teams. I don't think it'll ever happen either. But it'd be pretty sweet.
Hockey GMs and hockey coaches are the most conservative people in the world. They're not going to be sitting there trash talking, right? They're going to hate every minute of that.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way they would do that.
And we would love every minute of it.
As for who the Cats would pick, any road that would not lead to the Penguins in the second round, I think that's – but who knows who's going to be at the end of the year.
Yeah, especially with the way the Metro looks right, just in the Eastern Conference in general right now. I mean, it's
– right. And my favorite email of the week, this is from Greg. My wife texted me yesterday telling me we made the last payment on our car, so now we own it outright after a six-year loan. Naturally, I was happy and responded, "That's awesome." Awesome. She, who shamefully doesn't listen to your podcast, replied, "You know what else is awesome?" The answer she was prompting for was that we made every payment on time. The answer she got was commuter connections.
And she had no idea what you were talking about.
Had to explain the reasoning behind my answer, and she thought I was a huge dork. But I amused myself at least. Keep up the good work, fellas. Thank you, Greg, for that email. That definitely made me laugh. If you want to have your questions read and answered on the next podcast, you can send it to capitalsfaceoff@gmail.com. We got tons of great questions this week, and we really appreciate it. If you like the podcast, you can subscribe anywhere podcasts are available, and be sure to give us a good rating and review. Those things really do matter. Help spread the word about the show. We are up to 32 ratings now, Tarek. That's really great. If you are listening to this podcast right now, stop what you're doing and rate us. Give us 5 stars, obviously, but rate us. It really does help. And I also have to offer a mea culpa to the fans. I thought we hadn't gotten any reviews for months. I thought I was just stuck on 4 reviews, but then I realized the link that I've been using hasn't been updating. So I looked at a different link today. We have 13 reviews. So if you have reviewed the podcast and it has not been acknowledged by us, I'm sorry. All of your reviews were great. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much for the kind words. We're glad that you guys are listening and you appreciate the podcast. If you really like the podcast, though, and you haven't given us a review, just take a few minutes to send us a review. It really does help out. I heard one guy, he didn't have an Apple account. He told me about this. He didn't have an Apple account, so he logged onto his wife's account just so that he could give us a positive review for the podcast. So we really appreciate the effort, guys. We can't do this podcast without you. And also, listen to the Capitals Extra Podcast, also by NBC Sports Washington. It comes out the morning after every game. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Google Play. As always, thanks for tuning in to the Capitals Faceoff Podcast. For Tarik El-Bashir, I'm JJ Regan. Now let's get the puck out of here.
Yeah, I'm starting to rethink the Empire Strikes Back Phantom Menace.
Why is that?
Phantom Menace is pretty good too.
That is, Phantom Menace is the worst.
No, it wasn't.
The worst.
No, it wasn't.
It's horrible.
No, it wasn't.
It is horrible.
I mean, it wasn't as good as Empire Strikes Back.
Because it was a garbage movie.
It was garbage.
Yes, it was. All right, before Tarik gets me too angry, we're going to sign off on this podcast. So I'm going to say it again. Let's get the puck out of here.